All right, James chapter 1, verse 19. Says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word, and thank you for the truth of it, and encourage us to learn how to walk in it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to do two or three Sunday nights on practicing the scripture. How do you practice the scripture? And so tonight I want to just take a big picture of these verses and give you three areas and then go into them each Sunday night. The first one begins in verse 19, and the first truth of practicing scripture is to be open to hearing what God's word says. That's the first step. When he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, that could be applied to life, but I think it also could be applied to how we respond and whether we're willing to listen to what the word of God says. He says in verse 24, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. He says first be willing to listen more than talk or get angry. Secondly, receive after you set aside some things that I'm not going to define tonight. You set aside then, and you receive with meekness, is with humility, not pride. I'm good to go. I don't need nothing. No, with meekness. Whatever the word says, to receive it in humility. It's easy to find somebody else. Oh boy, they needed that, but not to let it speak to me. And he says, which is able to save your souls. And so he says, the first three verses, has to do with being open to hearing what the Bible says. Now, a lot of people say, oh, man, yes, I want to hear what the Bible says. But the truth is, they don't really want to hear what the Bible says. They'd rather hear what is being said about what the Bible says. How God's going to bless you, and how you're going to do this, and how this is going to work out, and boy, you're going to have this and all this. And I want to hear that. I want to hear that. And there's nothing wrong. Those things are in Scripture. But I'm not sure that we are, even ourselves, including myself, sometimes are not open to, with humility, receiving what the Word actually says. And I don't want to give any specifics on that, but I just want to start out by saying that the first principle is to be open, to hear what the word may say to you. Now, I'm not talking about say to you in some way that's apart from Scripture, but what it may speak to your heart, your attitude, your things in life. And so the first principle is to just be open to what it may say, and really want to hear what it may say. Dr. Burchett used to say that he'd ask people, where are you now reading in your Bible? Where are you now reading in your Bible? Oh, I read all over the place. Yeah, but do you have a regular plan to read the Bible and thus learn what it says and hear what it says to you? I'm not talking about to you in some unique way, God told me to do this, but in the way of what it actually says and what it says in speaking to you. He says, The first thing is you got to receive it with humility. Be open. I've said that when Dee and I first had Bethany, we had to go to these classes. Well, I wasn't really open to learning anything. Now, I was not closed to it. See, I want to define what I mean by open. I was not closed to it. I listened. But I really wasn't interested in learning that much because I knew I'm not delivering this baby. And I kind of thought I was supposed to learn some things to deliver the baby. So I listened, but I really wasn't listening to learn because in my mind, well, I don't need this because the doctor's going to be delivering the baby, not me. So I listened, but I didn't listen closely. When it came time for Deanne to have the baby, she had to tell me what to do because I hadn't listened in class. She had to tell me, all right, can't help but breathe. Okay, oh, I didn't realize I was going to have to do this. I thought the doctor was going to do all this. No, you're going to help me. Oh, okay, well, I missed what they said in the class. I was there. So I use that to illustrate, oh, yes, I'm open to hear what the Bible said, but maybe not entirely. Want to really hear what it said. So the first thing is an openness. Then verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. The second thing, and I'm going to define the essentials, but the second principle is an openness to face up to ourselves. Because he describes the scripture as like a man or person going up to a glass, which he means a mirror. And they look in their mirror and they see themselves. Oh my goodness, I got a piece of dirt on my face. I better get that off. They see themselves. They see what they're like. A mirror doesn't hide what you're like. It shows you what you are, particularly that two-way mirror that has it four or five times bigger. I hate to look in that one too much because you can see too much in that one, you know. But that's what he said. He beholds himself in the glass, but he goes away and goes, oh, well. And he just forgets. Notice what he says. What manner of man he was. What kind of person you are. I am more than ever convinced that one of the teachings of Scripture that many people miss is that we are bent in certain ways in our flesh because of the way we've been raised and the experience we've had and how we've learned to deal with it. And we are, to some degree, a certain kind of person. And the Bible exposes that. Exposes that. Aha. You're being a little proud there. You know the reason you're mad. You're jealous. That's real. You're jealous of the other person. Aha. You're worrying about this. In other words, the Bible speaks. How many times have I've heard someone say, boy, you stepped on my toes this morning. What they mean is the Bible convicted them. Deanne's aunt, who's a missionary, said she would go in countries and help them translate the Bible. And what they would do, she would learn their language. Just go right out there and, you know, what's that? Learn their language, piece it together, and after a period of years, translate the Bible into their language. Which is amazing to me. And she said one day one of the men was reading the Bible in his language. And as he was reading it, he just began to cry. And she said, what's wrong? Of course, in his language. And he said, this book knows me. It knows me. It knows what I'm like. You know, there's no temptation, but it's not common to all of us. There's nothing unique about what we may be tempted or what anybody else is tempted. There's nothing new going on that's different other than it's practiced differently, but it's always the same sins. If you do a little checking and you'll find out that people practice sin differently and express it different way, but it's still the same old sin. It's still pride. It's still selfishness. It's still envy and jealousy. It's still the same old, same old. And so what the Bible does is the second thing, we must be open to face up to ourselves. That's not easy. I'd rather face up to you. I'd rather find out what your problem is and tell you. It's a lot harder, particularly if what I may have to face up in my mind is not as bad as the fellow next door. Well, Lord, get on to him. Look what he's doing. I'm trying. But the second principle is to be willing to face yourself. As I said not long ago, I got news for anybody who gets upset or wants to go here or wants to do that. I got news for them. They're stuck with themselves. And they're never going to get away from who they are. And they don't think a change of scenery is going to do it or a change of place is going to do it. No, you're stuck with yourself when you go to that place. And if you don't learn to deal with yourself. And so he says someone goes in there and looks in the mirror and goes, aha. And then walks away and forgets what kind of person they are. So the second thing is to be willing to face up to the scripture speaking to me. Not to you, not to somebody else, or letting you have it. You know, most of the time, not every time, I can honestly say it, I never try to preach things that I know is going on. If I know something's going on, I will actually avoid that topic. I don't try to come in here and go, oh, I'm going to let brother so-and-so have it. I never do that. I try to study the scripture. What I came to preach to you this morning, what I'm going to preach, what I'm preaching now, is things I'm studying is like, oh, man, Lord. I had to practice that today, what I preached this morning. I'm like, oh, man, I wished I hadn't preached it. I had to practice it. Lord, forget this circumstance. I'm going to have to rejoice in you. Well, that's what scripture does. It exposes you. Then there's the third thing, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And boy, I'll tell you, you won't hear this anywhere. Or I've never heard it in my life. Hopefully it's scriptural, but I've never heard anybody say it. But here's what I think the scripture's saying. The word looketh is not the same word as a man beholding himself. It's a totally different word. The word, when it says he beholds himself, it is a casual word, which means he goes up to the mirror and goes, oh, yeah, I see myself. And he walks away. This is a different word. This is the same word used of Jesus when they brought the woman in sin, and Jesus at least knelt down on the ground and wrote on the ground. And people wonder all the time, what did he write? But he wrote something on the ground. And said, he is without sin, let him cast the first stone. It's the same word for looking into. It means to get closer down and look into the teachings of the scripture. And notice what it calls it. The perfect law of liberty. There is no liberty if I have hatred in my heart. There is no liberty. You may say it, but there's no liberty. The person that you know out there who hates someone is just as bound by that as any. There is no liberty in holding a grudge and being unforgiving. Because you can do all right for a while until you see that person. There's no liberty there. You know where the liberty is? Practicing forgiveness, practicing love. Not having hatred. There's no liberty in getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and worrying myself. Oh, there's no liberty in that. You know what liberty is? Is to give it to the Lord and then don't worry about it anymore. That's freedom. See, what many people today misunderstand, They think, give me my freedom. But what they mean is, give me my freedom away from all you traditional things and all you traditions and all the traditional stuff and away from all you old-timey rules that you folks have had. And give me freedom to go out here and enjoy myself. What they don't realize is the nature of man and sinfulness simply just binds them up more and more and more and more and eventually destroys their life. There is no freedom in sin. The freedom is practicing the truth. And notice what it says. Whoso looketh, he does a little more study. He does a little closer looking. I wonder what the Bible teaches on this. You know, I wonder what the Bible teaches on contentment. Well, I think I'm going to get down and study a little closer and look into it and then try to walk that way. And how do I practice it? Well, the first thing I mentioned this morning is I'm going to rejoice in the Lord today. In other words, I'm going to be cheerful in God. And I have to grab that and practice that. And if I walk in that law of liberty, guess what? He walks in being not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work. It may sound like he's doing works. No, if he winds up being a doer of it, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There is great blessing in following the scripture. It may be the poorest illustration in the world, but it's my favorite illustration. Is when I drive into Thomasville tomorrow, I don't have to fret. I don't have to worry. I know that when I cross the road and get on 84, I drive on the right side of the road. And when I get into Thomasville and I see the red light and it turns red, I don't have to fret. I don't have to worry. I just stop at the red light. And when it says green, I don't have to fret and I don't have to worry and be bothered. It says green. I'll make sure nobody's coming and running the red light, and then I can drive. And when I come to a stop sign, I don't have to worry and fret. I just stop at the stop sign. You see, driving is fun because you got all the rules out here. People think rules are terrible. Yes, they are if they're Pharisaical rules, yes. But God's rules are good. And so he says to look into the perfect law of liberty. Got a problem with my temper. I'll tell you one way to solve that. Get your Bible out and start reading Proverbs. See what Proverbs says about temper. Study it. Look at it. Learn it. Oh, I got a problem with the word. Well, go look at Matthew 7. Go look at Philippians 4. Go look at 1 Peter 5. And do a little study on that. And get down closer and look at it and say, Lord, help me. It says, casting all my care upon you. And that word casting means it's like taking the blanket that you put over the horse to begin with, and it means to throw it over on to the Lord. Well, let me practice that. And when you practice that, you walk in freedom. You walk in joy. How do you practice scripture? Well, the first thing is I have to be open to even hear what it says. Oh, I don't need that. Boy, preacher, I'm glad you preach that, because there's a lot of people needed to hear that. I don't need that. That's not the way. You got to be open. Secondly, you got to be willing to face yourself. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm that way, or I blew that one. And then you have to get down and look at a little study and do a little more study and realize, Lord, help me to walk in this. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've been at this for a long, long time. I have two passions in life. Somewhere along the way, I'm going to write all this stuff down. So I don't know when, but I am starting to write it down. But I have a passion, and I've been studying for 40 years to learn how do you live the Christian life and how do you know the scripture. And I've been, it's my passion. Well, you want to know what my passion is? That's it. And so I'm teaching you something tonight that I believe can be encouraging to you, because it's my passion. I want to teach how do you do it. Not just do it, but how do you do it. And I'm working hard at it. As I said last Sunday night, I'm going to start Monday morning. I'm going at it again because I love it. Eventually, I'm going to write something I've got to, folks. I just say this in parentheses. I've got to write something because I got something to say. Y'all give me some chance to be personal. I've got something to say. I've been at this ministry and this preaching for 30 years. I'm not a young man anymore, and I think I have something to say. So would you pray for me? Because I've got to say it, and I've got to write it, or I've got to do something. Because I feel like after all the years of slugging at it, some of it's finally kicking in, and I got something to say, and I'm going to say it. So would you pray for me? Because I want to say it, and I think more than you need to hear it. That don't mean I'm going to run off and leave you, but that just means that somebody's got to hear this stuff. Because I'll be honest with you, I listened, and I looked, and I go, Lord, that's not what I've got something to say then. So would you pray for me? They all might only be three people, read it. But at least three people read it. So would you pray for me? Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to learn to practice the scripture because it is so beautiful and it is so wonderful and you are such a good God. And it is so peaceful when we do it and it is so unpeaceful when we don't. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.